Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Extra Point Podcast. Today is Tuesday, November the 18th. My name's Todd, one of the pastors at First Family. Glad you've jumped on board and are listening today. We're going to look back at last week's text and answer a question that was not sent in or asked me directly, but actually was one that I've heard for decades and one that I have often wondered myself. And because I've been wondering this as we came to this text last week, in my preparation, I journaled a few thoughts that I thought I would use on this episode to help us answer this question. How can you spot an ear-tickling preacher? That title comes from the text in which we are aware from 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 to 8, that people will eventually and at times turn away from the truth. Even though you're preaching the word, there are still those who will turn away from the word, and they'll instead multiply teachers to themselves because they have an itch to hear what they want to hear. So he's talking about people who have itching ears, and they find preachers who will scratch that ear. You could say scratch that itch. But my point is, it's the people who have the itching ears. They're trying to find teachers who will tell them what they want to hear. And so they curate for themselves teachers and feeds and podcasts and voices that simply just, give them a surface sensation. And they'll find this in various forms, in recurring and repeated forms. And so I just begin to ask myself, how do we spot this kind of preacher? It's in contrast to a preacher who simply preaches the word. And yes, he does that in various ways, has different postures and character traits. Those are mentioned in the chapter. I mentioned 7 or 8 of them to you Sunday. How do we spot the ear-tickling preacher or the ear-scratching preacher? So let me give you 7 ways to identify an ear-tickling preacher, okay? And before I give these 7, let me just give a quick modifying bit of instruction. I think even these 7 diagnostic questions, we'll call them, 7 ways to identify an ear-tickling preacher, even these questions, you could probably analyze them and dissect them in a way that you could pick apart the question to where it may not be of any use. I'll try to explain my intent, but just be aware that this is not a perfect test in some ways. It does have some nuance, and you'll need to use it with discretion. But I think in general, you'll get the sense that the question is aimed at the right target and can be used to help us identify ear-tickling preachers. So question number 1, do they preach the text or do they use the text? In other words, is there an expositional, textually correct understanding of the scripture in focus? Or does this person just pull verses randomly to support their own ideas or to support the ideas of the people they're preaching to so they, win a lot of favor? Now, when I say use the text, let's be really candid here. Every preacher uses the text. What I'm actually asking is, do they use the text rightly or do they use the text selfishly or manipulatively? So when I say, do they preach the text or use the text, I mean use the text wrongly or selfishly or in a way that kind of doesn't end around or accomplishes a purpose that really that text was never intended to accomplish. Do they preach the text or use the text? This is a very good question. It's a great one to start with. And I want to encourage you just to ask yourself this question as you hear various voices and preachers. And this will be one that will kind of begin to tell you if they're really just tickling ears or if their aim is to really glorify the Lord and build up the church through the use of God's inspired revelation of the scriptures. Question 1, do they preach the text or use the text? Number 2, do they clearly call people to repent? This is a common trait in both the Old and New Testaments, that God's preachers, the prophets of the Old Testament, John the Baptist, of course, the final prophet of that time period before Christ came. And then, of course, those apostles, our early church fathers. There's a great line from the past going all the way now to the current of preachers who called for repentance from God's people, who called for repentance from all people, which is really the call of Scripture. I think the Bible says to us that, you know, God calls every man to repent, every person to repent. And so is this part of the preaching? Typically, a teacher who never mentions repentance is up to something besides genuine scriptural life change. They're probably out for something other than, salvation and transformation. And I would just say to you that to never mention repentance, that is clearly outside the biblical pattern and the biblical instruction. So if you never hear the word repent, the call to repentance, the idea of humility and confession, just know you may be listening to an ear-tickling preacher. Number three, do they preach sin as God defines it? And this is a very current identifying mark. It's culturally relevant. And typically right now we're seeing a lot of preachers who will generically talk about messing up or making mistakes. There's a lot of large categorization of things, and you're not sure if this fits or if it doesn't fit. And I think one of the marks of a preacher of the word is biblical, personal, concrete, and specific condemnation of sin. Doesn't mean we condemn a person as in an attack. That's not what I'm saying at all. But I am saying that we call sin what it is, and it's usually in the Bible quite clear. In fact, there's a number of lists in the Bible in which he just begins to call out and name the sins that we are not to commit, not to be part of. And so I think this is one of the marks of word-preaching pastors. They preach sin as God defines it, not generically, but biblically, concretely, personally, specifically. And they're not afraid to simply name the wrongdoing going on. This shows courage and not fear. And if you never hear sin addressed specifically, if you never hear the culture called out in very measurable ways, and then, you know, kind of held up against the Bible and to show where the culture's wrong and what needs to change, you can probably assure yourself of this, that someone's afraid of upsetting someone who's listening. They're probably aiming to make the listener happy more than they are God. So they're looking for the wrong approval, and they're aiming for the wrong smile. So the question to ask is, do they preach sin as God defines it? Question four, do they elevate God or the self? Here you're asking yourself this question, is this sermon, is this preaching moment about God's glory or just personal improvement? Now, let's be frank on this question as well. There is a sense in which as we hear God's word preached to us, we do sense and experience spiritual health. And so in one sense, you could say I'm getting better. And I don't mean that in a weird way, but I do think we find spiritual health and spiritual nutrition. Those are things that we do experience, and they're good for us. So I don't want to back away from that, but I think what the question is really aiming at, what I'm trying to get to, is the end game or the ultimate goal is not that we build up a person, their fame or their glory, or we make much of them. It's really that even in their spiritual well-being, which may occur under good preaching, then God gets the credit. And he's the one who is at the real, he's the one who's the real source of all the good happening in someone's life. So we want to elevate God and his glory, God and his overall redemptive timeline, his ultimate plan. Those are all things we want to elevate. And that'll be heard in preaching. And so an ear-tickling preacher is going to make sure at the end of the day that it's all about you. A God-centered word preaching pastor is going to make sure that at the end of the day, it's all about God. I've heard this before, and I think it rings true. It's not that the Bible isn't for you. The Bible is just not about you. And so, yes, the Bible does speak to us. It is for us. It brings us spiritual health, vitality, energy. It really guides us in our decisions. Those are all true things. But the Bible isn't about our success. The Bible is about God's historical, before the foundation of the world, plan to redeem to himself a people who will forever and eternity make much of his glory. And so ask yourself this question. Do they elevate God or the self? Question five, do they avoid parts of the Bible? And here's something I've learned over the years, that false teachers, preachers with ear-tickling capacity, they specialize in omission. They have a few things that they talk about a lot, and they're not difficult to talk about, and they kind of just recycle these topics. They specialize in omission. But a true word-preaching pastor, he's going to just really be willing to teach the whole counsel of God, Old and New Testament, books from every genre of the Bible. They're going to explain it in context, historically, principally. Those are all things that will happen. So I want to encourage you just to ask yourself, do they avoid parts of the Bible? And if they are, then the next question is why? And more than likely, it's going to end up that there's someone they're trying to appease or they're an ear they're trying to tickle. Question number six, do they contradict historic Orthodox Christianity? You know, I find it interesting that in Scripture, Paul often refers to the Scriptures as that which has been once and for all delivered to the saints, this faith that has been handed down to us, that the Scriptures that have been given to us, they're written by folks who have eyewitnesses of what Jesus said. And so the sense is that it's not a new thing. It's not something that someone just discovered last night, you know, in a vacuum or in some private location. That's really what characterizes false teaching and what characterizes myths and endless genealogies and questions that stir debates. These are all things that come out of the dark, so to speak, and that no one knows their origin. And so there's a real theme in Scripture that historic Orthodox Christianity is known, it's revealed, it's verified, it's validated, it's historic. This has been passed down. And so I want to encourage you, when something new comes on the radar, and it's not just necessarily like an opinion area or a third level kind of issue, but something of major importance, and someone's got a whole new slant that no one's ever heard of, I would be very leery there. If it contradicts historic Orthodox Christianity, just know this, you're probably listening to someone who's really got a bent to tickling ears than preaching the word. And then question number seven, do they cultivate discomfort or comfort? And by this, I mean simply when they're talking about sin, when they're speaking of spiritual progress and growing in our sanctification, of God's work in our life, is it just always about comfort or is it really a cultivation of discomfort? Meaning, do they rightly agitate in order to see progress? It's been said that true preaching comforts the afflicted and afflicts the comfortable. And so, yes, there are times that our preaching, no doubt, is a comfort. God's word is a comfort. His Spirit uses his word to bring comfort. That's 1 Corinthians. So no doubt that's true. But there's also a sense in which genuine word preaching, it agitates appropriately. It stirs up. It tills the ground, so to speak. This is so true in the Old Testament prophets, as they would really appeal to backslidden and wayward Israel. Their preaching often was with metaphors that were very personal and very intense. And they would stir up the ground. They would dig in the ground. They would, you know, turn it over, so to speak. So there was a lot of agitation. There was a lot of conviction attached. It was no doubt uncomfortable. There was discomfort as folks were encountering God's word. And yet, upon repentance, which was preached as well, then there's this comfort, there's forgiveness. And so I think, word preaching pastors are willing to, at times, embrace the discomfort Scripture may bring in order to experience the comfort that it can bring ultimately through forgiveness and restoration. So again, just seven questions here that I thought might help us put some markers out there or some identifying traits. You know, we gave you seven or eight identifying traits of word preaching pastors. Here are, seven questions to ask so that you're not lured by ear-scratching preachers. Number one, do they preach the text or use the text? Number two, do they clearly call people to repent? Number three, do they preach sin as God defines it? Number four, do they elevate God or the self? Number five, do they avoid parts of the Bible? Number six, do they contradict historic Orthodox Christianity? And number seven, do they cultivate discomfort or comfort? And this will help all of us, I think, as we continue to think through what are the voices out there that are trying to lure me into a false way of believing or turn me away from truth. Remember this, false teaching always comes in recurring forms. And so we could name some names today, but in 50 years, it'll be a different set of names. They're different names than 50 years ago. That's why I think it's more helpful to really give some identifying markers of ear-tickling preachers, these seven diagnostic questions, so that we can continue recognizing what's false and clinging to what's true as we both, in our personal life and our church life, cling to the Word, which does the work.
Thanks for listening to the Extra Point Podcast. To find more content and resources to grow deeper in your relationship with Jesus, go online to firstfamily.church/resources.